You have to know what consumers are looking for when they're looking for a product like yours. So helping clients focus on the most important information to put on the front panel of the package is critical so that the people will even pick it up in the first place. You have a lifetime of brand experiences and touch points to tell them all the other pieces of your story. But on the package, you need to get them convinced that A, this is the product they're looking for, and B, your brand is the one to try. Welcome to the Brands for a Better World podcast, the podcast that brings you the stories behind people and products, building a more just, healthy, and regenerative future for us all. Tune in weekly, and together, we'll learn why these better products and brands were created, how they're helping fix broken systems, and what you can do to support them. My hope is that you'll discover some new brands to love and get some sparks of inspiration that will help you live your best life. Hi, I'm your host, Gage Mitchell, founder of Modern Species, a sustainable brand design agency helping better brands grow to scale their impact. This podcast is one way we do that. If you like the show, please help it grow by leaving ratings and reviews on your podcast app and by sharing your favorite episodes with your friends. Maybe this will be one of them. This week, fellow CSU alum Adam Peake from the People of Packaging podcast interviewed me on how brands build trust with consumers, the importance of quick communication on packaging, and why direct benefit claims drive intent to purchase. Dive in and let me know if you like shorter episodes like this.
Now, if you've been following this podcast, last week I got to have on a professor from CU Boulder, Roger Pielke Jr., and we talked about climate science and climate change, and it was great, but I felt like there's too many buffaloes. There's too many CU love going on in this podcast. So I had to reach out to my friend Gage Mitchell, who's a fellow Colorado State University Ram, which is, as we all know, the Harvard of the Rockies, to invite him to come on
of course,
and join the podcast. So Gage, thanks so much for coming on the show. And we're going to dive into all sorts of stuff, sustainability. So Gage, you are the host of the Brands for a Better World podcast, amongst many other things. So why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, thanks for bringing me on to chat. I'm excited to share this on both of our shows. But for those of you who don't know me, my core job these days is Modern Species, a company I founded about 15 years ago with the goal of helping launch, evolve, and grow better for the world brands so we can help them scale their impact. And because I'm a food geek, we end up doing a lot of work in food, and better for the world food are things like B Corp certified, organic, regenerative, upcycled, fair trade, just food that's better for people, better for the planet, better for economies, and so on and so forth. And we do a lot of work with them around packaging, branding, websites, stuff like that, so that they can really connect with their consumers, sell more product, and therefore have more money to make an impact, or their products hopefully also make an impact. So that's the core job that kind of funds a lot of my other fun side things. And then, as you mentioned, one of the fun side things that's been going on for a couple of years now is the Brands for a Better World podcast, which was formerly known as Evolve CPG, that was established with the goal of just connecting people who are building better businesses to share their story, share their learnings, kind of support each other through that podcast and through a community so that we can all go further faster together. Because if we can learn from someone who's 5 years ahead of us on something, we can avoid the mistakes that they've learned through hard lessons, and therefore grow our business quicker and get to that impact faster. So that's the goal there. A handful of other things are just kind of like running some communities, like the local Washington area B Corp community. Nice. I won't name everything, but I just love building community, connecting with people, sharing stories, and then building brands that are making the world better.
And if you're listening to this on Gage's podcast, my name is Adam Peake, and I host the People Packaging podcast. I'm a senior vice president at Myers Printing. We print stuff, so boxes and labels and RFID insertion to meet the Walmart mandate, store displays and signage. And then I also get to do, just like you, Gage, a various amount of other things, from speaking at events to social media content creation, and even a little bit of sustainability consulting with brands, specifically related to packaging. And I do think that where our worlds, obviously they collide in multiple places, but this idea of sustainability specifically with food is not just packaging, but packaging plays a huge role in food sustainability and food preservation. And so I'm excited to kind of dig into not just the ins and outs of packaging with things like fair trade food, because at the end of the day, if you do all the work to get the food ready, but it is spoiling, it's expiring, you have to throw it out, like, that is unsustainable. It's unsustainable business. It's bad for the environment, because that's going to turn into methane that has to then be captured. And if it's not captured, it's pretty rough. And the UN is actually cracking down, I think, finally, on methane emissions globally, because they're finding that it's not quite equal to CO2, but it's having a bigger impact than they thought. So
yeah, to your note on, you know, you don't want to spend all that time making better for the world food and then have it spoil. Like, that's a big part of why I'm a fan of the upcycling movement too, is because they recognize that, I think it's somewhere like 40-something% of global food goes to waste, maybe even higher than that, upwards of like 60% in some places. And it just goes to waste, partly sometimes due to bad packaging, sometimes due to overconsumption, people buying too much, sometimes just because we don't use everything that's grown and some stuff is too ugly and it gets thrown out, or maybe we use a piece of something but not the whole thing. So to your point, if we're going to spend all the time, resources, energy growing food, we may as well keep as much of it as we can and use as much of it as we can in the highest form possible.
No doubt. So I think that the consumers today, and we were just talking about this on our Packaging Today Show Monday with Matthew Wright from SpecRight, that they found that consumers today still want to do the right thing. By and large, they want to buy from conscious companies. They want to buy from companies that are supporting the health of our earth. And the problem isn't that they want to do it. The problem is consumer trust is at an all-time low with brands. They actually don't believe the brands. And so, coming from your space in terms of helping these companies to build trust, how is it that you help brands create that connection and that community with their consumers and build that trust early on? I mean, it's not just packaging, right? It's got to be a whole list of things.
Right. Yeah. The trust is kind of the whole point of building a brand, right? Because without a brand, there's just a bunch of unmarked goods in a marketplace, and you just go and like touch it, feel it, buy whatever seems right at that moment, kind of a commodity market. But then when you slap a star on the outside of one box and people have a good experience with that product, they start looking for that star everywhere else, right? And that's basically how brands were born. And the idea of a brand is to have some sort of promise that you're making to people. If you buy from me, or if you use us or whatever, you will get these results. And so, like, by fulfilling those promises, you build trust. And if you keep fulfilling those promises, you continue to build more trust and hopefully also build loyalty. Eventually people will just buy whatever you make because you always fulfill their promises, right? So I think for us, a lot of it just goes back to, like, what is that core promise? Like, what is this brand all about? What do we stand for? What kind of world are we trying to build? How are we showing up in the world? And what are the things that we can guarantee our customers? How do we then make that explicit and compelling and connect it to what our ideal shopper cares about? And then, as long as we communicate that well and in a compelling way that's relevant to the shopper, and they get the product and we fulfill those promises, then we're starting to build that trust. And I think, to your point, a lot of brands have broken that trust by lying to consumers or greenwashing or trying to be one thing, but in reality, they're something else. So a lot of it comes back to authenticity and transparency and vulnerability and just showing up and being real, so that people know, even if you didn't check all your boxes on your goal list for 2024, you're telling me the lessons you learned and how you're going to improve for next year. And that builds trust too, right? So it doesn't always have to be, we nail it 100% of the time, but if you sweep that stuff under the rug and they find out about it in another way, that erodes trust. So yeah. Authenticity, relevancy, trust, loyalty, all those things tie into building a brand.
So let's pull it into the packaging realm, because I think this is really critical. There are various ways that people interact with a brand today. Online, physical, billboards, TV, various different ways that you can get your brand name out there. The moment of truth, though, I think, is when they actually are going to unbox your product. So in this case, a food product. The very first physical interaction with your product is likely going to be the packaging. So if you're helping a brand communicate that trust and transparency, what are some practical things they can do on their packaging? Let's say they're a B Corp, or let's say they've done some studies and they find that, you know, fair trade certified is a really big deal with their clients or with their customers. What are some things that you help these brands walk through in order to clearly communicate this in a genuine and authentic way, not greenwashing, because nobody wants that.
Right. Yeah. And you're super accurate in that for a lot of products, especially food, like the ones we work with, the packaging is likely the first place they'll experience your brand, and maybe the only place for a lot of not that many people are like, oh, I love this brand, let me go follow them everywhere, at least not on the first trial, right? So you see a product in the store, you pick it up, you decide this sounds like something I'm willing to risk some money on, and you try it. And if you love it, maybe then you'll kind of continue on that journey, keep buying it and follow them in other places. So the packaging is really important, because it not only needs to pull somebody in and get them interested in even touching the product to pick it up and read about what this product and brand is all about, but then it needs to quickly communicate the core reason somebody might want that product, and then get them to like maybe flip it over and read more, and then decide to put it in their cart. So that's a lot of stuff that 1 5-inch by 2-inch package or whatever needs to communicate. So we often kind of try to help clients focus, by which I mean a lot of the companies we work with are doing a ton of amazing things for the world, but you can't put 16 certification logos and 20 paragraphs of copy and like a whole impact report on the front of your package. That's just impossible, and it wouldn't communicate anything. So a big part of it is kind of understanding what is like the core essence of your brand, like what makes you different from other people, or what makes your commitment to impact or your commitment to quality or whatever, like how is that showing up on the front of your package? And then what do your consumers care about most? Because you might care about paying your employees 50% above minimum wage or something, and you're really proud of that. That's great. But is that something that's going to make the shopper decide to buy your product? Or is it the taste, the flavor, maybe the health attribute that's going to get them to buy it? I'm not saying paying your employees well isn't important. It's just that's not front panel important necessarily. People, you have to know what consumers are looking for when they're looking for a product like yours. So helping clients focus on the most important information to put on the front panel of the package is critical, so that the people will even pick it up in the first place. You have a lifetime of brand experiences and touch points to tell them all the other pieces of your story. But on the package, you need to get them convinced that A, this is the product they're looking for, and B, your brand is the one to try. So yeah, you got to narrow it down to a few key messages.
My good friend Vicky Stroll, who does a lot of work on branding and data science around branding and just how much time you have today to get someone's attention, is gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. I mean, as consumers, we have the attention span of like a goldfish. I mean, because anymore, you don't just go to the store, you have your phone in the store, and you are fighting with attention from Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. People are on their phones in the store. And so your brand is trying to grab attention at the store shelf. And so simplicity, I totally agree. Simplicity and clarity is critically important at the store shelf, because you're not just competing with the other products around you, which is what used to be, call it 20 years ago. That used to be the primary thing, is how do I stand out against my competitors on the shelf? You still have to do that, but you're also competing with people who have, or you're trying to sell to people who just have a lower attention span. I really think that's why a company like a Liquid Death, for example, has done so well. is they were new, they were fresh, they were different. They don't tout their sustainability, but they talk about like death to plastic a lot in their, you know, so they stayed, they kind of had this like metal rebellious edge, but they packaged water in an aluminum can, but they stayed true to their brand. And I think that things like that are what really drive some of these brands forward, is they didn't have to talk about their sustainability on their package. Some brands are going to have to talk about their sustainability on the front of their package. Others are not going to have to. And like you said, you just have to know what is it that's connecting to your consumers.
Right.
If you're listening to this on replay, sweet. You can send us questions if you get them. Either if you're watching this on Gage's LinkedIn, on my LinkedIn, or on YouTube, we can see the comments and we can answer some questions. So feel free to drop those in for sure. Okay. So when you're talking about some of these brands that you work a bunch with, and you're telling them, hey, you got to be clear, do you find that a lot of brands kind of default to certain certifications or certain categories of things they want to communicate? Or is it a little bit more broad and it's like, we need to do a deep dive into who your consumer is, not just what the broad base of consumers do?
I want to say it's a little bit more broad, by which I mean, it's pretty rare that someone comes to us and they know exactly what they need to say. They have lots of ideas of things they could be saying, and they have lots of data on what consumers care about. They just haven't done the kind of narrowing down to the most important messages. So that's part of what we try to start with is what is the hierarchy? Like, based on your research with this consumer, or based on our understanding of your consumer, like, what are the things they're going to care about most? And one recent framework that kind of popped up that sparked some of this conversation actually is an article in Fortune magazine that was about how consumers across the board, across demographics, across age and background and region in the United States, et cetera, all want to buy more sustainable products. But how much sustainability should you communicate, or which sustainability attribute should you communicate? So one of the things I found interesting about their study is they found, again, a huge percentage. I don't know if they listed the total percentage, but the vast majority, pretty much everyone, wants products that are better for them, safer for children, protect animals, support local farmers, and are sustainably sourced. It's kind of like, if you think about it first, it's kind of like the what's in it for me kind of idea, right? So I think a lot of brands come into a market swinging, being like, but we're great for people halfway across the world. And that is important and that is powerful. But most of the data, whenever you look at any survey on what consumers are looking for, it usually starts with, well, is the product good? Does it taste good? Do I like the flavors? And then it goes to like things like, well, is it good for me? Is it going to be a hot pile of garbage? Is it going to make me sick or whatever? And then if you check those couple boxes, then they're like, okay, great. Well, is this safe for my family? Is it benefit my local community in some way? Like, is it supporting local farmers and so on and so forth? So it kind of like is almost concentric circles. You got to start with the core. Are they going to like the product? And does this product have the attributes they're specifically looking for in the product? And then is it going to be good for the people around them? And then is it going to be good for the community around that? And then they'll start caring about the rest of the world. So from a communication standpoint, we need to start with the core things the consumer cares about. And I think one quick way to do that, I think you were hinting at it a little bit, is like certifications, right? Which certifications do we show? I think some of that comes down to, what does this brand care about? What's their positioning? If they believe their positioning is that they're the only B Corp in that category, they're probably going to put the B Corp logo on the front panel. However, most brands realize that that's probably a back panel or a social media or a website messaging kind of thing. And on the front panel, they need to check those boxes that I was just listing off. Our consumer cares about like the number of grams of protein, or how much sugar is in here. Is it good for them? Does it have the attributes they need? And then check off a couple other boxes like, hey, this packaging is fully recyclable. This product was made with local ingredients from farmers in your area, you know, a couple other attributes like that. So that Fortune study found one key claim about your product, and then two sustainability claims, ideally related to their immediate life, was the perfect combo that drove interest in purchase from about 44%, if all you do is make a claim about the product, up to 70 something percent if you have two sustainability claims. So people want to know it, But you need to start with communicating what's in it for them and then get to the other stuff after they buy the product, like your brand, and want to learn more. Then they'll get excited that you also happen to donate food to children in need halfway across the world. Like, that'll keep them coming back and build loyalty, but it's not going to be what makes their decision today.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because at the end of the day, as much as we all probably hate to admit it, there is a survival instinct or sort of a, I want to take care of my own body. I want to take care of my own family. I want to take care of my own community. There is a bit of that that I think is part of the human experience. And so it makes sense then to say, hey, what's in it for them first and foremost? Because that's going to grab their immediate attention. I don't think that altruism is the guiding light for everybody, like you're saying, to start off with. I don't know of a lot of people who are saying, I'm going to purchase this because of what's happening. Now, I will say there are probably moments, like the other day I bought my wife a pair of earrings from a company that uses, trying to remember where the region of the world, I'd have to look this up, but they go find like buried bombs, because there's bombs just everywhere in the world, and they take the metal and they form the metal into jewelry. And it has this whole backstory behind it. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I wanted to get my wife some earrings anyways. So the immediate thing was like, are they beautiful? Would my wife like them? Yes.
Right.
Okay, cool. And there's a really neat story behind it as well that I can then go tell my wife when I give her this gift. It's not just, hey, I thought you'd like these earrings and I bought them at Target. It's, hey, I bought you these earrings and here's the story behind it. Here's the link. She goes on Instagram. You know, she can share it there. So to your point, now that I'm actually saying that, I thought I probably went in with like, oh, this is a really cool story. But even as I was telling that story, I realized my first thing was, would my wife like these earrings? Yes or no? Because if she won't like them, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Like for me, same kind of idea. Like, am I going to buy Coca-Cola because they donate money to some community halfway across the world? Probably not, because I don't want to drink Coca-Cola in the first place. It's just a sugary beverage that has zero benefit to me, and I don't even like the taste of soda for the most part. So I'm not going to buy it because it doesn't meet my first criteria. However, if it's a functional tea beverage and they check those boxes, then when I find out, you know what, all the proceeds from this tea go towards building villages for the farmers' children or schools for the farmers' children or something, I'm going to be like, oh, that's a cool story. That story will help me then spread their message, kind of like the Tom's Shoes model, right? So people didn't buy Tom's Shoes and have them be like completely uncomfortable and really ugly and whatever. Like, they were like, you know what? These are kind of funky cool. I like the way they feel. And when I wear them, I get to tell people that buying these shoes also bought a pair of shoes for someone else. So like, there is value in that story that you are, you know, through conspicuous consumption, you're like wearing a flag that says, look, I did this good stuff for the world, or even just internally feeling good that you helped some other people. There's value there, but you got to check some of the, would I even wear this? Is this going to be good? Am I going to like the experience of it? You got to check those boxes first. And then if it is the type of product that is highly competitive, you got to also make sure that it's like checking a few other selfish boxes probably before you jump into the altruism box. But again, I would say in my philosophy, the product, the packaging gets them to come and try the product with the right messaging. They try the product, they like it, they'll try it again. Then it's the mission, the messaging, the sustainability, the impact that'll get them to be loyal to the brand and buy it over and over again. Even if another competitor pops up and has a similar product, if they love what your brand stands for, they'll choose you. And according to most research that I find, they'll even be willing to pay a little bit extra, like maybe 10% more for your product because they know it makes an impact or it's better for them.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Gage, this has been super informative. I'm going to make sure that I put the link to this, to the article in the show notes so that you can click on it and read it for yourself. Cause it's a fascinating study. You know, how do people learn more about Modern Species, learn more about, you know, Brands for a Better World? How do they connect up with you?
Yeah. So you can find our work at Modern Species at modernspecies.com, where we do have a link to links to the podcast there if you just click the podcast tab. And then we also right now have our impact-driven gift guide featured, which we collaborated with a few groups, but mostly brand pollinators, Kate Fossen. She and I kind of developed this game plan and put together a guide that features over 70 impact-driven products that all have at least one of the 9 featured impact certifications. So like B Corp, minority owned, upcycled, climate neutral, et cetera. Like we've featured a lot of really great impact organizations, and every brand in there has at least one. Some brands might even have like 5 or 6 of those attributes. So it makes giving good easy. So if you're going to the website, check that out. And you know what? Gift giving is year round. So even if you bought all your holiday gifts for this year, you know, what about for birthday gifts or Valentine's or whatever else? There's gifts that keep on giving there. So check those two things out. And then if you're just kind of in your podcast app right now as you're listening, you can just find us at Brands for a Better World in any podcast app.
That's great.
What about yourself?
Yeah, first of all, I love the impact-driven gift guide. I think it's a phenomenal way to take the guesswork out of, hey, what can I get for this person? I really love the guide that you all put together. I know that took a long time. Yeah, so you can go to packagingpastor.com, and that will have all of the links and everything, my LinkedIn, TED Talk that I did, things of that nature. You can find the People of Packaging podcasts anywhere you listen to podcasts. And yeah, that's probably the two easiest things to do to get in touch with me is LinkedIn. I'm on every day, so you can hit me up there. Appreciate the follows on my podcast. It's been 5 years of a grind of love, I feel like, for the packaging industry.
Yeah, I hear you there. Yeah, I'm a couple years in, and I feel the grind. It's really rewarding and fun to produce this kind of content and share these stories with the community, but it is a lot of work. So everyone listening out here, go give a like and a review to People of Packaging podcast, because that really helps us grow these shows so that we can reach more people. And you know, while you're there, if you've got Brands for a Better World pulled up, give us a like and review as well. But then just, you know, listen, download, share with your friends, etc. We're sharing these stories of impact so that, you know, we can all go further faster together. So consume them when relevant and share them. It's much appreciated.
I love it. Follow what he's doing. He's doing some really great work out there. Appreciate it. Go Rams, and everyone have a great day.
Yeah. Go Rams. Cheers. Thanks for listening. To learn more about Adam Peak, follow him on LinkedIn, go to packagingpastor.com, and search for the People of Packaging podcast in your favorite podcast app. If you like this show, remember to help us grow by liking, reviewing, and sharing. If you're new here, don't forget we have over 100 episodes in the archive. Some might be called Evolve CPG, but it's the same show, so dig in for more goodness. If you consider yourself an impact-driven professional, join me over at impactdriven.community, where we're supporting each other's growth as impact leaders.